Tom and Leah are the Watchers.
Are your nipples okay? I was just going to check because...
No, check. You can check.
No, believe me, I don't need to look again. It's not even that cold in here.
Can I just say, yes. My nipples are always hard, okay?
Okay.
It's just something that's always happened.
Sure.
And I'm okay with it.
Have you had them Botoxed?
Welcome to We Are The Watchers episode.
Oh, really? That's how we're starting?
That's exactly how we're starting this one. Ash, hello.
Hello from both of you here. Hello from left and hello from right.
And hello to Tom. You are actually a turtle? 30s. Oh, your t-shirt says I'm actually in my 30s, but just glancing at it, you think it says turtles.
It's the Ninja Turtle logo.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm. Yep, I got it at a comic convention.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Where are your nipples? Show us your nipples.
There.
What, are my nipples that prominent?
It's because of the peach tone of your top.
If we can just, we'll set the scene here for our listener. I'm wearing, what would you say, salmon colored
t-shirt?
Yeah,
salmon. Salmon's probably appropriate.
It's a large
size.
It's
fresh and new.
Mm-hmm, reasonably new. And both my nipples are pointing out quite prominently. Now, they're not overly large nipples.
No,
they're just standard size, but, well, who am I to judge? But they're always erect.
You're listening to Nipplecast.
Ash, I hope this doesn't mean that you're going to start feeling self-conscious and only wear black oversized moomoos.
Oh, no way, baby. I'll get this shirt off in a second. I'll let these puppies out. Mm.
Careful. Tom will want a tweak.
Tops off Tuesday.
Oh, that's fine with me. Tweak away. Tune in Tokyo. Here we come.
We've had a whole week to do a whole lot of watching, and Ash, Tom, have you only been watching Ash's nipples?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And thank you very much for coming here today. That was a great episode. No, we had a few things that we needed to watch, including Godless. Ash, how many more episodes have you watched?
I haven't gone any further into it.
Impressive. 7 days not to watch anything.
No, I've watched things. I got sidetracked.
Oh, fair enough.
I got so sidetracked.
We'll have to find out about this sidetracking. Tom, did you get sidetracked as well?
No, I didn't have internet. So what? Netflix has been a bit difficult to watch.
Anyway, that's it for the show. Thank you very much for listening.
I have still binged some stuff that I had downloaded before.
Yeah, a whole week of internet issues. Is that just your place or is it the area? Because I remember a few years ago.
#Australia.
Exactly. We had internet intermittently come and go. And when I say come and go, I mean it was more gone than on for sort of the 10 days around Christmas and New Year. And I called them a lot and they said, oh, every time the tech comes out, it's working. I'm like, so they come out in that half hour that it's working. And it was a pain, a real pain. Is it a similar issue?
I think so. My neighbours has been down as well. So, yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. I live on the internet, so it's been withdrawals.
I bet it's been really difficult.
I have scratch marks gouged into my arm.
Oh, no. Has it forced you to do anything else?
No.
Hang out at my place.
And watch your internet.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And I tethered for a little, which is not something I often do. Because I don't like to be tied down.
No, man. You've got to be free like a bird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I managed to watch 3 episodes of Godless.
Well done. You win.
Thanks. I'm the winner.
Wow.
And as you were saying last week that you weren't sure where the storyline was going.
Yes, that's correct, Leah. I was just getting introduced to the characters, but I think it was trying to set up the show as to what the show is sort of like.
And I think the first episode sort of told you that there'd been a whole lot of killing.
Yeah.
And
you got that vibe as well.
Rampaging. And there was going to be a chase and the chase was on. And 3 episodes in, the chase is still on, but you're starting to get to know why the chase is happening, some more of the characters. I've enjoyed finding Denise from The Walking Dead.
It is her.
I didn't even realize the first episode.
It is her.
It's her.
Ah, thought so.
That's where Denise has gone. Yeah.
I thought I was just...
No.
Okay.
You're 100% spot on.
Is she wearing an old-timey eye patch?
No, she isn't.
Ye oldie eye
she
patch.
She must have a glass eye. She's got a glass eye in.
I thought it was her. She's changed. Or they've...
Well, she's just not wearing glasses and she's dressed up as if she's in Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And there is actually a character in the show, I'd say one of the main guys, Roy his name is, every now and then he says something and I swear he is John Marston.
Oh,
I swear.
I'm okay with that.
It's almost spot on word for word stuff that would appear in Red Dead Redemption. But no, I'm really enjoying it. It's a good show.
Yeah.
And
production value's there, isn't it?
It is a stunning show.
Yeah.
It is so beautifully shot.
It's a cinematic orgasm. It is. Your eyes will squirt.
How much money do you reckon they spent on this?
Oh, a lot of money. Yeah. A lot of money. And the special effects and everything are fantastic as well.
And you've got a whole lot of great actors in there, in the mix. I'm talking about Love Actually Boy, a.k.a. from Game of Thrones.
Oh, the guy who looks exactly like my brother Cam.
And manages,
Thomas Salinger, is it? Something like that?
And manages to look 12. He's looking about 14 in this one, though.
Yeah, he was on Game of Thrones as well.
Yep, he was. He went up to check out the tree with Bran.
Grabbed by the whites going across the lake.
Exactly.
So how many Game of Thrones actors have we seen? Well, are we going for the... Are they trying to huddle a whole heap of sci-fi type...
Potentially.
Denise and
if we start to see Brienne of Tarth, I'm going to...
I think it's more that they're all... It's not so much stunt casting, but those are all working character actors that you see and pop up across a lot of shows. For they're the people that get elevated to that middle status guest cast.
Mm-hmm.
You want a reasonable name for a flashy role.
Mm. Yeah, there are some great actors from The Newsroom who pop up.
Newsroom.
As well. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was a great show.
It was good.
It was a really good show.
How'd you go with the gore?
I think because you had warned me, and I do watch Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead, I was fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't too late at night, I take it, when you were watching.
No, I'm sort of watching at about 7, 8 o'clock at night. Not too bad.
Huddled up on the lounge with half a dozen cats.
Yeah, they sort of the buffer zone. They stand in the way if something scary happens.
Good old Pussy Palace.
Very much going to watch the whole season. And Tom, once you get the internet, I reckon you'll shoot on into it. But you were right, Ash. The episodes do feel long. And it's funny because it really is not that much longer than a standard episode.
No.
It's only an hour.
Yeah, but there's a lot in it.
You do feel it, don't you?
You sure do. You sure do. Mm. Tom, do you want to give this a score out of 10, Leah?
Well, I'm going to say 3 episodes in, I'm going to give it about an 8.
Hey, nice.
Out of 10. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Mm. What about you? 1 episode in?
1 episode in, I'm up there with a 7.5.
Not bad.
Yep.
That's not bad at all.
Mm.
I think you'll enjoy it more the further you get in.
Yeah, that's 3.5 from each nipple and just half a point from myself.
Lefty is rootin', right is tootin'.
Nice podcast. They make them for men.
Hey, Tom. I wanted to just bring up something quickly. Mm. You were just mentioning a lot of Game of Thrones stuff.
Mm.
I know we put something up on our Facebook page, but that's a long wait.
Yeah, we've got to wait till 2019 now. Mm. They haven't actually set a date. Usually you would find Game of Thrones would happen the week after Walking Dead finishes. So
yeah, normally they kick off normally mid-April. This year, last year, it was July that they came back.
It was a lot later, yeah. Less episodes, though. And
this one, we're getting 6 movies. There's 90-minute episodes, 6 of them.
Anyone who's listening to this podcast, you all have that one friend who doesn't watch The Game of Thrones. And I just want to say to everyone who's listening to this podcast, I am that one dude at this table right now who doesn't watch The Game of Thrones. So I'm feeling a little bit awkward.
However, you do now have a whole year to watch it. There's only 10 episodes a season, except for the last one. There's only 7.
Pull your finger out, Ramsay Bolton.
It's such a commitment, though. You've got to at least watch each episode twice.
No, you don't.
Oh, no, you do.
No, you really don't.
You don't?
No. There's not mysteries to unpack. There's just predictions of what's to come.
Mm.
And I would say if you were watching it, not necessarily even binge watching, maybe just one every couple of days, you will have a better grasp of the sheer number of characters and where they stand within the universe than somebody who watches only the episodes once a year.
Right.
The other reason why I'd say watch it now before it ends is because there's certain shows that have become a cultural touch point. Like, I like to bring up Lost. And people that watched Lost at the time it was airing remember fondly all the online discussions, standing around chatting with other people and stuff. But once you finish that and you just watch it and you binge it, you don't have that same time to unpack and discuss what's happening in between.
Yeah.
So if you get caught up now, that's the fun of the final season. We'll be chatting with people.
All right. Well, let's see how we go. I've got 12 months to cram it all.
You've got at least 12 months.
All right.
Ash, I would say once you start... you will have no problems continuing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's the biggest show. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those shows that does the last 10 minutes really well. Yeah. So that if you do have another episode to watch after it, you're going to want to watch it straight away.
All right.
And then you can watch it with your top off because there's a lot of nipple.
Yeah.
There is a lot.
I was going to ask that.
Boy and girl.
Right. Well, my boys will be happy then.
I think we even see giant nipples at one point. Like nipples on a giant, not ridiculously large.
Are you talking
nipples.
About the show or Ash?
Both.
Okay, right.
I think Wun Wun gets his kid off at one point.
Yeah, that's why I like that last Star Wars so much. Just that animal.
The Kylo Ren challenge.
Well, there's Kylo Ren who has massive nipples. What an awkward body. But there's also that cow thing with the blue milk on the side of the mountain. The milking mammal.
Yeah, the milking bit was way more awkward than Kylo. But Kylo, Adam Driver, because I have watched Girls even though Tom
is... I'm sorry.
I know. But he doesn't look that awkward. And I think what you were going to say... In that the fact that he was wearing Harry High pants made him look super strange.
Well, someone's worked out that where he got shot in the last film would be where those bandages are. So he might be wearing black bandages and that's what gives him the high pants look. Mm. But when I first saw it, I was like, oh, your proportions are all wrong.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah. They should have got me in as a body double. I would have quite happily shown my nipples for a bit of Lucas love.
For Chewbacca.
For Chewy.
How much money would you have insisted on?
Oh, no, I'd do that shit for free.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's like the princes, Harry and William, I think.
I know I charge both of you guys for a look-see every now and then, but nah, Star Wars. I'll do that. It's for Nick's.
By the way, I do owe you 20 cents for last time.
20 cents?
Were you charging me double?
Yeah, it was 20 bucks.
Oh.
We'll talk after the show.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, we'll have to do a bit of a spoiler here for Leah because she hasn't caught up on The Good Place.
Oh.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
I'm sorry to hear that, Leah, because we're going to bust it wide, wide open.
Go for it. Go for it. Now, where did the end of season 2 leave us?
So, well, that was the midpoint of season 2 was when Sean, who is the boss of the real bad place, showed up to talk with Ted Danson, Michael, about how things were going on what he believed to be the second iteration. Whereas we actually know that this is somewhere in the 4,500 iteration.
There's been several reboots here to try and make this work.
Sometimes several reboots every 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you know how there's that, you walk in, Sean's sitting there and he's like, we need to talk. And you go, oh, fuck, what's going to happen here? But there's another twist. And the twist is that Sean sits there and he goes, well, as a matter of fact, the way that you've been torturing these humans is amazing.
And we're going to promote you. It's everything you've ever wanted.
And you've been promoted. It's great. And then they tear down that shit.
Mm-hmm.
They have a party and they pretty much destroy the joint and they have a roast.
Hang on. Are you talking about, hey, Ash looks silly, those nipples?
Yes, a comedy roast.
Okay.
And it was
great for the nipples.
Spectacular. It was so, so good.
Really?
Like Ted Danson absolutely destroyed these jokes and the things seemed really personal. It was one of the funniest episodes of Good Place yet, and that's saying something.
It was laugh out loud funny, and especially when Jason is standing there and he goes, hey guys, I hate to be the one to point it out, but I think we need to call the police.
Everyone else was like, where do you think we are, dude?
He's one of my favourite characters in that show.
He's a dude.
And Ted Danson just goes crazy. Yeah. He's so good at it.
But the reason why I particularly love this episode is all the episodes always have some clues hidden in there that get addressed later on in the series, whereas mm-hmm. this one actually had clues that got addressed in that episode.
But do you think that there were clues hidden?
Yes.
That you will realise later on?
There's four clues that get specifically called out, and then there's a mention that there was 1,200 other clues.
Okay.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. I'm a little disappointed it didn't end up getting anything at the Golden Globes then earlier this week.
I say, look, a lot of comedies don't, they always reward comedies when they're nearing the end of their run.
And this feels like it's just getting into it, doesn't
yes.
it?
This could go for a long time. Like, it depends on what twists and stuff they come up with, but I don't see any end for it. And I'm happy about that. I'd love this to keep going for ages.
Yeah, and it's a show that a whole heap of people can watch at different levels. I mean, yes. I couldn't imagine this being a show that I would have liked as a teenager, but not enjoying the same aspects that I enjoy now.
Well, there's tons of philosophy always thrown in, and there were a lot of references to Kierkegaard this week, which was if you've read
to
any
what, sorry?
Kierkegaard, who's a famous philosopher.
Right.
And basically pedantic arguments over whether it's a leap of faith or leap into faith. And I enjoy when a show makes you work and afterwards you go away and learn a little bit more, and this show is fantastic at doing that.
What
I think is good about it is, like you said, it keeps doing those twists, and if it continues to do that, it can't get stale.
I don't see it ever getting stale, especially because they've also got this great cast of revolving guest characters. So Sean can pop up. I don't know if they'll ever bring back Ben, who was the Adam Scott in season one, the guy that came from The Bad Place.
Jerks. He was great.
And stuff.
He's been busy in Big Little Lies.
Sure.
So.
And my favourite new character is Derek, who is the fake boyfriend that
he's great.
Janet created for himself, for herself.
How good was Bad Janet as a DJ?
Two songs only.
And in this episode, by the way, Lee, we've just totally ruined this for you.
That's all right. We've got a spoiler. We had a spoiler alert just at the beginning, so no one can...
They go and visit that lady
Mindy. I love her.
And guess what they send her?
What?
Two duffel bags of cocaine.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Derek. But he has wind chimes where his private parts used to be.
And she says, I can work with that.
I can work with that.
Oh, Mindy.
Derek. Derek. Derek.
Derek.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Now, we were talking about keeping shows fresh, and a tactic that a lot of shows have picked up in probably the last 5 years, maybe more actually, because it is 2018, is the killing off of main characters.
Sure.
To the point where it is now standard. I will hear you two say, when we watch The Walking Dead, this is the mid-season finale, we'll lose a main character.
Yep.
To the point where now it is not even surprising. Game of Thrones does it a lot. We lose a lot of main characters in that as well. And other shows do it. I know Wentworth has done it, except a little more surprising with that because it's a slightly different show.
Home and Away.
Did they?
Alf is stuck down a hole.
What? Alf is down a well?
Yeah.
Or is it just a walkie-talkie?
Flaming mongrels.
What's that, Skippy?
Are you finding the fact that they kill off main characters in shows a little predictable now? Do you think that this trend will come to an end soon?
No, because that's stakes. You've got to have stakes. And shows where there are violence and aggression, there needs to be real stakes. You need to lose characters, otherwise there's no weight behind the dramatic impact.
But Ash, do you find that you cannot get close to it? Not necessarily close, but you're not invested in a character enough now because you're just expecting them to be gone any second now?
As a general rule, I have trouble getting close to people.
Because of those nipples.
I can't help it that I'm on high beam all the time. Okay. I struggle getting close to people, but especially people in TV shows. Look, there's a formula there that obviously that people are using, and it's a lot of it's like a trend.
Do you feel it stale now or not?
No, yes and no. Yeah, but nah. The Walking Dead, for instance, is that there is a formula there where, you know, they'll kill off a main character or a Plan B type character, but the way that they've got that formula worked out, where it's everyone comes together and then we split people up, yep, and then we come back together, someone bloody dies, gets a little bit predictable like that. And that's being used across quite a few shows, I find, where they just like to split people up and try and bring them back together, and it just goes on and on and on and on and on.
Keep it going.
Look, a big part of that is financial reasons. If you've got a massive ensemble cast for a show, then you've got to pay each cast member. If they're on screen, they earn their full amount. If they're not on screen one episode, they don't earn the full amount.
Mm.
So it's a good way to have your cake and eat your
Spread your budget.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So
spread your budget and eat it too.
Well, you've never spread your budget before?
I prefer Vegemite.
Well, Lee, you haven't lived.
But it... a death also has major ramifications for the characters that survive. And so you sometimes see there are some characters that may not click until they're dealing with a grief arc or something like that. And you know, I like that sort of story progression. It also helps characters step up and fill a void. You know, there have been times in shows where a character that was very background has stepped up because there's been room now and become a firm favourite.
I don't want to specifically talk about the character that something happened to at the end of The Walking Dead, just in case people are still catching up over January. But I
should
think
we include a spoiler alert here?
Just a little bit.
There is a main character.
But we won't name the name. No. So if you just
but
want
they're
to
in
continue.
A bit of strife.
There are in a bit of strife.
They be but a the, bit.
But the general vibe of the internet that I have caught is not the audience grieving for that character's ultimate demise. It's annoyance with the writers and the show itself that they would do that.
I think that's because that death is being used as a shock tactic for a cliffhanger rather than us seeing the emotional resonance of how the other characters are responding to that. Once we have that context when the show returns, I think people will see the death in a different or better light. When you don't see the ripple effect that it has and how everyone else copes with that sort of grief, then it's just happening in a vacuum. And that's what this is at the moment.
Yep.
And that's really annoying.
It's really annoying.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've been playing a little bit of a video game called Horizon Zero Dawn.
Tell us about that. Give us some context.
Been enjoying it. It's an open world game. Mm-hmm. Lots of quests. You've obviously got the main storyline. There's secondary storylines. And then there are like little... They actually call the quests errands.
Where's it set?
So it's set in this world. You believe it's Earth. And it is years and years into the future. You're not really sure. Humankind is pretty much almost wiped off the face of the Earth because of robots and machines.
Oh.
There was a battle, there was a war, there was something, you're not quite sure. And you are this character who is an outcast in a village. It's very much...
Terminator 2-esque?
No.
Way further, actually. You've almost gone back to...
It's caveman-y.
Yeah, caveman-y stuff. Yeah, a little bit. But they're still able to talk and they can build things and machinery to a certain extent.
Tell us about the robots.
But the robots, right, there are like horsey robots,
there's
crocodile robots. Oh. There are all these robots that resemble real creatures, but they live out in the wild as herds.
Oh.
And you can either decide to sneak up and perhaps corrupt one of them so that you are in control of them, or you can decide to just attack and kill and scavenge their bodies. And there are all these different ways that you can go about this game, which I think is really good. But what I'm enjoying is the storyline. I want to know what happened. And there's something going on as well, and I don't know what it is. And it makes you want to progress through the main storyline, which is not something I always do in an open world game. I like to do all the secondary quests. I like to go off and do all the little bits and pieces, pick up some XP and whatnot. But this is making me want to go through the storyline itself because you know that there's going to be a big twist. I can feel there's a twist. There's a story. There's something going on. And it's just really well written. And I know that this game was up for a lot of awards at the Game of the Year Awards or whatever mm-hmm. it's called. It didn't win any. It was nominated for so many, didn't win any.
Maybe that's because they never get to the point as to actually what happened.
Maybe there's no end. Yeah, maybe there is no end. But I'm really, really into it. And I'm one of those people that can't play games for too long. I'm talking like an hour, maybe hour and a half tops, and then just get over it. I have to go do something else.
Yep.
I've been playing for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. That's a long time.
Mm.
I've been pausing a lot and doing other stuff in the meantime. But yeah, it's very much enjoyable. And Tom, I know you've got a PlayStation.
Yes.
If you have...
I own the game. I haven't gotten to it yet.
You don't have the internet. You could be playing this game instead.
Sure. I'm the same. I can't... I really want to get into it, but it's too much of an investment, like time investment. I know I'll never reach the end.
Yeah.
I won't.
So you're more into those games that you get the storyline in a few hours, maybe 3 hours.
I like playing the Lego games. Mm-hmm. They're really good ones because I like games where you've got to collect everything to get 100% rather than running around an entire world. Mm-hmm. I like something where it's set levels. You've got to solve puzzles and things and get collectibles and stuff like that and bite-sized stuff. So I've been playing a lot of my Switch.
Okay.
I like my Nintendo Switch because I can plug it in, play it on screen. If someone else wants to use the TV, just plug it out and go and sit on the couch.
A lot of people are enjoying that convenience.
It's a really good system.
Mm. And it's not an overly expensive system.
No, compared
either,
to the others, it's far more reasonable. And you are getting what equates to a console and a Game Boy together. Yes.
Oh, the good old Game Boy. I did see something on the interweb the other week, whereas you can buy a gadget that you plug your phone into and it turns your phone into the screen of a Game Boy.
Yeah, like an emulator type thing.
Yeah, mm. And you can plug all your old Game Boy
did
games into
one?
It. A Game Boy? Yes, I did, actually.
Do you the remember old... any of the games?
Oh,
Bubble
it was,
Bobble.
It was the really, really early Game Boy.
Yeah, the grey brick.
The dot, yeah. Yeah. All the dot matrix stuff, but there was no colour.
I had the see-through one.
Nice.
Thought I was wearing
the colour, purple?
No, it was just clear.
Okay.
Absolutely clear so you could see inside. And I had a couple of games. I think I had Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
It was really fun. Mm. And whatever Mario it was at the time, maybe it was 2 or something, I can't remember. But I finished the whole Mario.
Nice. Mm.
I really enjoyed it. Mm. It was one of those games where... I'm not very good at always finishing games, I think because I pick really long ones, like The Witcher. Mm-hmm. I did finish mm-hmm. that, though. I haven't done the DLC. But, and Horizon, which I think is going to be quite long for me. But, yeah, Mario was not an incredibly long game, and it's achievable.
Oh.
I'll give a plug to Super Mario Odyssey, which is the new one on the Switch, and it is fantastic.
Bite size?
It probably took 5 to 6 hours to finish the story missions and stuff, but then you go back through to collect all the hats and that sort of stuff. And it's the spiritual sequel to Super Mario 64. Remember that one, the first one where you were running around in 3D and it just feels like that, but really polished. And you have a hat that you can throw and whatever it lands on, you can control. And at one point you find a T-Rex.
Oh, how convenient.
You control a T-Rex?
Yeah, and there's other stuff, like no spoilers, but there's some amazing Mario gear that you get to control.
And the music's amazing as well.
Yeah, they have like a swing band doing the music throughout. It sounds ridiculous, but like almost like J-pop over the top of swing music.
Mm.
It's great.
That actually just sounds like all of Tom's music.
It does a little bit. Yeah. One other thing that I've been watching too, by the way, and I jumped on it last night, is The Toys That Made Us.
Mm.
So is it sort of a nostalgia show?
Yeah, and it's on Netflix. Well worth looking up if you're into your pop culture.
Where's
you're
it
into
from?
Your toys. It is from the States.
Okay.
And it's the story of all of the very popular toys that we played with as kids. The first episode is about Star Wars, which I found absolutely fascinating.
And also a little, it was a little aggravating because you wanted all of them.
I had a fair few of them, but it just starts going through Star Wars collectors and that's part of the episode. The other part of the episode is that it tells you the story of actually Kenner, the toy maker, and how they got the contract to start producing the Star Wars toys. So this is the first episode. It's about the Star Wars franchise, which Tom and I were talking about before, which has made an absolute mozza for Mr. Lucas in the past. I think double what movie sale tickets actually worth. So $7 billion in movie sales, and the toys have made 14 billion. That's a billion with a B now, on little plastic figurines. It's quite amazing. It's a really, really good show.
And he's still getting, obviously, money from the new round of toys?
I don't know what the deal is.
Or is that now a Disney?
I don't know what the deal is. I'm sure he'd have to be getting something somewhere.
He wouldn't just give the whole thing away. He did give it away for a lot, though.
But
you know, Disney have already made the money back that they spent on buying.
I'm not surprised. Lucas.
Took, I think, five years, three films.
It's incredible. Mm.
And I don't know if you're aware too much of your own Star Wars. Well, you would have had a few Star Wars figurines, Leah.
I've still got some.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. When am I coming over?
I keep meaning to bring them so that we can sort of... basically just play Star Wars.
I don't want to see your Jar Jar Binks toys.
I don't have Jar Jar, don't worry.
Okay, good.
I've only got original Star Wars.
But some of the stuff that we like to do, I've done a video, if you want to look it up on YouTube. YouTube and Pop Thump, if you have a look there. And I interviewed a guy that I met at the coffee shop here who loves his Star Wars figurines. He has this amazing collection, and he goes into talking about a lot of the figurines and the Boba Fett, for example, with the shoot-out missile and stuff like that. They go right into the history here of that. So we touched on it in the video, which I found fascinating. But this,
he had a lot.
He did. It's worth a bit of money as well. Still wouldn't let me play with it, but... this delves right deep into the whole culture behind it and the collectors and how it came about and different colour hair for Luke Skywalker over the years.
Actually, yes, I've seen the different coloured hair. What's the show called again?
The show is called The Toys That Made Us.
Toys That Made Us.
Yeah, and I think they're going to go into things like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles down the track and, you know, just all the really popular toys over the years. First episode about Star Wars, I really dug it. Worth a watch.
Started off strong, didn't they?
Yeah.
Let me know when they drop a Lego episode.
I will. I think Lego is actually in there somewhere.
It'd have to be.
Yeah.
Have to be.
What about My Little Pony?
What about Strawberry Shortcake?
Oh. Ooh. My sister had a Strawberry Shortcake.
I had a Strawberry Shortcake. I've got five sisters. Thanks for that, Mum.
Don't you press the stomach and strawberry smell comes out?
No, I think you scratch their stomach.
And then the smell. Well, I mean, we're using the term strawberry smell really liberally.
Funny, the same thing happens with me. scratch my stomach.
I reckon Cabbage Patch Kids might get a run. If they're going
were huge.
Yeah, and I think if there's anything due for a comeback, it's going to be Cabbage Patch.
They're back.
Oh, they are back.
They're back, baby.
Oh. Oh, have you got any?
My daughter does.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they selling? Are they back in the stores?
Yeah. Back in toy shops. They never really went away, but they're back doing well at the moment.
Back then when it was a huge thing, when it was a craze? It wasn't just girls. It was boys who would have Cabbage Patch dolls.
I had one.
Yeah, it was not seen as a doll, just a girl thing. It was both genders, and I don't know how they managed to make that a thing, but they did.
But they sure did.
I would imagine there'd be many toy companies who would be desperate to tap into whatever magic they performed.
From what I've read before that, they didn't make a lot of male dolls. Doll companies were always about making very, very girly dolls for little girls to pretend to be princesses and stuff like that. And then, Cabbage Patch came out with gender neutral and the TV show, so you could attach characteristics
That's
to your favourite character.
One.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm.
Clever marketing. They weren't cheap, though, back in the day.
No.
Oh, about 50-odd bucks or something,
Which
I think. And back in the day,
lot.
It was a fair bit of coin.
Yeah, to try and convince your parents to get that for Christmas or birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try the Santa thing. Well, if my mum and dad won't get it, I'll ask Santa.
I'll ask Santa. He knows. He'll be able to get it.
He's nicer than they are.
It smells like brandy, but he'll be able to get it.
Hey, we're on this great nostalgia trip right now, so I want to bring up the other show I've been binge-watching.
Oh, yeah? What have you been up to?
Because I want
to
be talking... Lethal Weapon. There's a Lethal Weapon TV show, and it's really good. Like, I got to give it props. It feels like a comfy blanket. You know, it's hitting a lot of the same elements as the films.
Have they touched on any of the storylines from the films?
Yes, but they've adapted them in different ways. Cool. So Murtaugh is played by Damon Wayans, who's doing a great job.
Mm.
He'd be good at
not quite at the point of being too old for this shit, but he's getting close. And there's only been one moment in the series where he went to utter that line and actually says, I'm too old for this. We're going to save that for the movie. Because they were going to make a movie of his life at the time. Riggs is a Texan rather than an Aussie.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a well-known actor or?
He was in Recital, something like this. Rectify, I think, was the show he was on. I have not watched it before. But he's really good, unhinged character. And because they've got 22 episode seasons, they're really able to get into that psyche he has of being quite suicidal.
That's a lot of episodes for this day and age.
Yeah, yeah. So it's on Fox, so it's a proper network show. And the first season is dealing with Riggs's past and how that's led him to be suicidal, and he's trying to solve a mystery of what happened to his family. And then season two has gone even darker with him.
Mm.
So it's a funny show, and it's all light and bubbly, but you've got this one character who's a severe alcoholic. Trying to end it.
Would it be fair to say that this Riggs is a bit grittier? He's a bit gritty.
No, he's.
Or is he on par with
Yeah, look, he's ridiculously charming, and so he can always make people think that he's fine.
Mm.
It's that we spend a lot of time with him. You know, he lives in a caravan on a beach, and is almost homeless, this sort of stuff, and doesn't care about looking after himself, hides alcohol everywhere.
Oh my gosh, he sounds like every detective in all of the murder mystery books my mum reads.
Yeah.
He sounds like Ariola. It's a Swedish name.
Oh.
He looks like Harry Hole, but it sounds very similar,
yeah.
The character.
But look, I'm going to give this show a lot of credit because I've tuned in and caught episodes of plenty of shows that were based on films,
mm-hmm.
where they've tried to get the storyline going and bring something back.
Which I was going to ask, how have they done? Because I'm a massive fan of the Lethal Weapon first three movies. Mm. Number four, we could have stopped at number four.
Agreed.
Seriously, folks.
Well, look, Leo Getz, who is Joe Pesci's character, he pops up as a recurring character.
Mm-hmm.
Not Joe Pesci. He's played by a guy named Thomas Lennon, who you would remember from Reno 911.
Yeah, he's, right.
Officer Dingle.
Oh, yeah.
Funny guy.
Yeah, yes. He'd be good at that. Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a lot of guest characters that pop up through. You know, I think back on another show, there was the From Dusk Till Dawn TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That was fine, but it ran out of steam.
Mm.
That's the problem with a lot of these shows that adapt, or you know, it's a film adaptation turned into a show, is that they have a great first season because they've got a solid blueprint to work from, but then when they do their own storylines, it kind of falls off a little bit.
Mm.
Whereas this one, they've got a couple of films to work with, but they've just used more the characters and the setting and gone some different directions and stuff like that. And so I really recommend it.
Okay.
And it looks beautiful.
So it's well shot.
Yeah, it's all in sunny LA.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Worth a watch. Mullet?
Are there any mullets in there at all?
It's not quite mullety, but it's very scruffy.
Okay.
Yes.
It's the 2017 adaptation of The Mullet, because
yeah.
we filmed it back last year.
Yeah. Well, it kicked off 2015, I believe. Oh, no, 16. We're in 18.
I know.
That was the show. That was his look, wasn't it? The mullet.
It was a big one, though. It was high. It was...
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of volume.
Yeah.
It was all of that.
A lot of product.
I reckon that's almost going to do it for us this week. We have actually talked about a lot of shows.
Yeah, and my nipples.
Yeah, that's been our recurrent theme, and mm-hmm. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. And now I'll give you a look.
Here's my 20 cents. Ash, thank you very much.
No, thank you.
Tom.
Thank you, nipples.